Okay, so, thank you. We're thinking about praying as part of our deeper, wider, and higher season. And we've talked particularly, haven't we, in the last few weeks about our relationship with God as being the fundamental for our being able to pray. Okay. So we talked about the fact of being tapped on the shoulder by the Lord, turn around. We talked about the closeness of a father to their child. We mentioned the fact that all prayer and worship flow from a close relationship, a close friendship with God our Father. And then I asked you a question. Are you comfortable holding God's hand? And then last week we thought, or the week before last, we thought about the fact that God is faithful and he's called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Not just we read it and so we're thinking about it, but it's our head, it's our heart, it's our whole body. And we talked a little bit as well, didn't we, about the sheep and the shepherd. So we actually talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And if you missed that, 2 weeks ago's message, have a listen to it online. So today we're thinking about in Jesus' name. Now that is something that some people pray. They get to the end of their prayer and they say, in Jesus' name, amen. Today Val was praying and she said, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, and I want to explore that a little bit this morning. They're all downstairs. Okay. So I want to explore the whole thing about in Jesus' name. Because some people pray with that and some people don't. I mean, I was once in Uganda and this pastor came up to me. I was in an internet cafe trying to email home, this pastor came up to me and he just started talking. God talked to me, and then he said, so when you baptize people, because he realized I was a church leader, he said, when you baptize people, do you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, or in the name of Jesus only? I said, well, normally in the name of the Father, the Son and the Spirit. But he said, oh no, that's wrong. You've got to do it in the name of Jesus only. And I thought, he wouldn't let it go. He wouldn't. And in the end I said to him, my brother, you're going to have to stop talking because you're not going to convince me. Let's just agree to disagree. Okay. But! It happens, doesn't it? So, this morning I'm not going to bang a drum. I'm going to try and explain a little bit about in Jesus' name. And at the end of the time, it's up to you whether you carry on using it or start using it or whatever. Okay? So, we're starting in John's Gospel. And this is what Jesus has said in three places in John's Gospel. Okay? Firstly, in John 14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Then in chapter 15 he says this. This is the chapter about the true vine. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love one another, love each other. And then in John chapter 16, Jesus says this. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. So there's three scriptures there, three times Jesus speaks about using his name to God the Father. Okay? Now, Aisha was a lady who lived in a village. I'm just going to read you a little story. Well, pray see a little story. Aisha was in a village. She lived high among the rocks, and she lived there all her life, except for an occasional trip to a market town. As a child, she tended the goats high up, where the charcoal burners lit their fires. As a girl, she'd later married and travelled on horseback from the little thatch hut under the oak trees at the top of the village to another one at the bottom of the village. And here she ground corn and drew water every day. And here she'd born up and brought up children. But now her husband had died, and the children had married and gone off to other villages. So old Aisha was left alone. That's the setting. She discovered she was going blind. She talked to some of her friends, and her friends said to her, "There's a nurse in the village, go and talk to her. Although she's white, she'll be able to help you, I'm pretty certain." So she got taken with some of her friends down to the nurse's clinic, and the nurse looked at her and examined her eyes and said, "I can't do anything, but my brother in the town on the coast can. But I've never been. I'll never get. Don't worry. Get someone in your family to get you there. What happens if I get lost? You can ask where this hospital is." "Okay." And then the nurse said, "And I'll write you a letter addressing it to my brother so that he can help you." So Aisha got herself together, got put on the bus by our family, holding the letter in her hand, got through to the town eventually, and she did get lost. So then she was asking, and eventually she got to the right place, and there was a gate, and it was closed. And she didn't know what to do. "How can I get in? There was a man standing there. No more today. Come back another day." And she held the letter up and said, "I've got a letter. It's in his sister's name. Come." She went in. The brother read, "Oh, this is easy." Admitted her straight away. Did an operation. Probably it was a cataract, I expect. And then this is what she said. "The doorkeeper beckoned me in," she continued, talking to the nurse when she got home, "with shining eyes. I alone, all the others had to go away. There were many waiting, but he led me through the crowd, in front of them all, into the presence of the doctor. And again I said, 'I come in the name of your sister.' Many were waiting, but he turned them from them and took the letter from me and read it there and then. And then he turned to me, who am old and poor, and he did for me all that you asked, a bed, an operation, and now I can see." She paused and considered. Then she spoke again with her voice soft and wondering. "How precious your name must be to him," she murmured. "He did all that you asked him." Great little story, isn't it? So I want to ask us this morning, what's in a name? Okay, I'm not going to do the video, okay? So I'm just going to go on. Okay, so I want you to think about, when you hear a name, you instantly think about the whole person, don't you? You know, so if I was to say to you, Michael Palin. Now, some of you would say, "Who?" Some of you would start doing something really silly from Monty Python. Some of you would think about his travels. Well, in fact, here we are. Let's have a think. I'm actually just finished Pole to Pole watching it again. He's gone round the world. He's gone up from top to bottom. He's gone round the Pacific Rim. He's gone to all different countries. And even now, at over 80, he's still travelling. I can't remember where it was he travelled recently for Channel 4. When he was young, he was in Monty Python. And this is my favourite one of him. The whole planet populated by Supermans, but he is Bicycle Repairman. That's what I think of when I think of Michael Palin, okay? You might think of him as an author. I've read two of his books. This is Great Uncle Harry's written another one about a ship in the Arctic. And then I've also read a bit of one of his biographies. Okay, and they're really thick books, okay? But at the end of the day, what I got out of it was, he's a thoroughly decent chap. And that's really it. But when I said his name, some of you went, straight away you thought, didn't you? You thought about the man behind the name. So it conjures up for you certain thoughts, perhaps feelings even, perhaps happiness, perhaps, oh no, not that man, or whatever. But you think it makes you think things, the name itself. Okay? If we were to think about this man, some of you who are royalists will go, oh yes, good King Charles III. Some of you who are not royalists will go, okay. But the thing is, his name carries weight. Okay? In this country, his name carries weight. Okay, probably not as much as he would hope, but it does. You get out a £5 note, it's got his picture on it. You get out a stamp, it's got his picture on it. Okay? It's the symbol, his name in one sense is the symbol of his power. Okay? Now we call Jesus our Lord, our Saviour, our Master, our Teacher, our Healer. We call him our Christ, our Messiah. For all that he has done, for all that he is, his name, it's beyond power. I'm not explaining myself very well, I'm sorry. The King's got a certain amount of power with his name. Jesus, all power, it says in Scripture, doesn't it, has been given to him. We've got a bit of a static this morning. Sorry about that. But what about this guy? I bet anyone recognise Giles? No, you probably wouldn't. Giles is the UK ambassador to Peru. Okay? Okay. He acts in Charles's name. In fact, he puts his own name aside. When he goes to an official function, he is as the king in the function. He has to be very careful what he says. Because if he says an off-the-hand, off-the-cuff comment, it could get him into trouble. Because the king would, I read such and such that you said, hey, stop it. But the thing is, of course, that he knows his job. He's been trained to do it. He's been trained not to be giving his personal opinions. He is speaking on behalf of the crown. Okay, he acts in authority, in the authority and power of the king. So the king has to be certain. Now, obviously, it's civil servants and things these days, but I hope you can see what I'm saying, that the king has to be confident in his ambassadors. Okay, the last thing we want is for an ambassador to go off the handle and start bad-mouthing the king or the British government, or anything like that, in his post, or her post, in another country. Not good. So the king has to have confidence in the ambassador, and the ambassador has to have total confidence in the king. Yeah? The use of the name always supposes the surrender of our interests to the one that we represent. Okay? So Giles doesn't think about his own interests, Perhaps when he's in his house, he does. But when he's out on official business, he is representing the UK. He's representing the king. So his own agendas have to go to the side. His own thoughts and feelings, they have to go. And he has to represent the king. And the king trusts him. Okay? Now, let's go down a level. Let's get out of government and stuff and think about other people representing. Now, this is my son-in-law, Doug. Okay? It's my youngest daughter, Abby. This is her husband. He was leading worship in his church last week. This is where I snapshotted it to get a picture of him. And a few weeks ago, well, end of the summer, Doug and Abby, with their friends Jamie and Elizabeth, and I think their friends Gareth and Bethany, all went to Rora, out of conference even, for a holiday together. And so they had all their little kids playing with each other and everything. And that was great. And one morning, the guys were in the kitchen. Now, if you've been to Rory, you'll know there's a really big kitchen there. And they were just getting breakfast sorted for the three families. And one of the Rora workers came in and said, "Oh, who are you then?" And Gareth said, "Well, I'm Gareth Davies from the family in Epsom." "Oh, yes, yeah, welcome, welcome." And then Jamie said, "I'm a Moorcroft. I'm from Reading." "Oh, yes, 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 yes." And then Doug said, "I'm a Bainbridge." And the guy said, "Huh?" He said, "I'm married to a Barrow from Worthing." "Oh, yes, come on." He used my name. And he was accepted. Michelle went to the town this week to act on Val's behalf. She had her power of attorney in her hand, which is registered with the Office of Public Guardian. She worked in Val's name in Barclays Bank because she had the power of attorney. Now, I'm putting all these things out there for you to think, well, hang on a second, so where does that apply to you and to me and Jesus' name? Okay? We're almost there. Oh, look, there's the power of attorney there. We're almost there where we're going to start thinking about it. Now, there was a point in time when a young lady called Michelle Davies became Michelle Barrow. Okay? I'm trying to get you to think about different levels of where the name comes in. Okay? And at a certain point, she became Michelle Barrow. Now, had we been in Kenya at that point, she'd have been called Mama Matthew until Naomi had been born. Then she'd have been called Mama Naomi. But she took my surname. Okay? Now, there she is, 17 years old. Okay? Look at weren't we a lovely couple, eh? There she is, as a 17-year-old. I do take my hat off to my mum-in-law. She was very brave. Letting her daughter marry me at 18 was incredible. Thank you, Val. So there she is, on a wedding day, signing the register. She's no longer Michelle Davies, now she's Michelle Barrow. Okay? 18 and a quarter she was when we got married. And I was just under 21. And she was really happy to take my name. Why? Love. Okay? She loved me, I loved her, and she wanted my name. She wanted to identify with me. I've cleared this with her to check it was okay. Okay, she wanted to be named with my name. All right? We had chosen each other, and the two became one. All right? the bridegroom. There's so many pictures of the bridegroom in heaven, and they're all a little bit AI-ish, so I just wanted to put a scripture up instead. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. We are the bride of Christ. One of the names that God has given the church, the bride of Christ. Just like Michelle and I chose, I chose her. She said yes. The bridegroom, the Lord Jesus himself, has chosen you. He has chosen you to be his bride. And he wants you to wear his name. Okay? He loves us. There's going to come a point in time when all this is all wrapped up and we're with him. There'll be nothing between. At the moment, we've got all this between us, haven't we? We walk by faith at the moment. But there'll come a point where there's nothing between and we are just together. This is a quote from a book. What could he do but give those who bear his name the right to present it to the Father for all their needs? Let me repeat that. What could Jesus do but to give those who bear his name the right to present it to the Father for all their needs? Okay. Jesus said, we read it at the beginning, about the fact that we can ask the Father in his name. Now, I'm hoping you can see from what I'm saying this morning, it's not a formula. It's not something that is, don't forget, at the end of the prayer, say, in Jesus' name, and it'll be okay. It's more than that. It's life. It's love. It's family. It's authority. It's representing. So my own personal thought is, whether we say it or not is not the issue. The issue is, are we in union with the Lord? Are we, day by day, as we walk out there, as we go to our job, as we go to wherever, even the way we shop, when we're at the counter and the way we speak to people. I was speaking to a lady this week and I said to her, I'm not going to carry on this conversation because I don't want to be rude to you. She was winding me up something chronic and I just said, no, I don't want to be rude, so we'll finish the conversation. How we behave, we are representing, we're going out in his name. Okay, you think back to Giles, the UK ambassador in Peru. He wouldn't go to an official function and say, I say in the name of the king, ba 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 ba, would he? Everyone would know he was speaking on behalf of the king. Do people know that you're speaking on behalf of Jesus? How is the way you behave out there, in your work, in your house, where you've just got your family, when you're alone, how do you behave? Are you representing Jesus there in every situation? Okay. Now I want to finish with a quotation by Andrew Murray. As we bear that name before men, we have power to use it before God. As we bear that name before men, this does not mean that wherever you go, you say, oh, I'm a Christian and I'm going to talk to you today as if Jesus was here. No. you behave in a way that people say, wait a second, he's not like the other people in the office. Why is he like that? Hey, James, why is it on the ward, when everyone else is losing their cool, you are caring to your patients? And relaxed and not stressed. And James doesn't even have to... he doesn't say anything, because he's representing Jesus. And then it's, I'm a Christian. I follow the Lord Jesus. Ah, of course. That explains it. It's more than just saying at the end of a prayer, in Jesus' name, isn't it? Okay? It's a lifestyle. For you and for me, this is a lifestyle. And if we are going to be representing the Lord Jesus out there and in our homes, to our families, we've got to make sure that our relationship with him is clear. And as we've already said this morning, before we broke bread, forgiveness only takes a second. Okay? If you feel that you're not in that place where you should be, come to him. I just want to read this. Oh, I know I said I'd finish, but just want to read this scripture. It's very famous. Most of you will know it off by heart. If I say 1 John 1, you know where I'm going. And let's see. From verse 5 of chapter 1. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There we have it. If we say, it's not just a sorry, but it's a heart response to the Lord. If we confess, if we, it's a repenting, it's more than just sorry. You know, when you, haven't you seen it, when you say to your child, now say sorry, and they go, sorry. That is not saying sorry, is it? Eh? It's a heart sorry that we're looking at, isn't it? If you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've done this, I'm like this, it says he's faithful and he is just to forgive us and to clean us. And then if we're there, go out there and represent him. Live in his name. Okay. Right. So we're going to pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your name is so much more than a five-letter word. Your name is so much more than something that can just trip up off our tongue. But it's you, it's who you are, it's all that you have, it's all that you do, Lord God. And we want to pray this morning, Lord, I want to pray, that as I go out, as we go out from this place, and wherever we are, whether we are at our home, at our job, at the shops, having coffee with someone, or whatever, Lord God, we pray, Lord, that we will be living in your name, that we might represent you to all around. Precious Lord God, Lord, we love you. We think of the bride illustration, Lord. Say, Lord, this rises in my heart, Lord, that the love you have for me and I have for you, I'm willing to, Lord, to put my interests aside so that you can have your interests as the forefront. Lord God, come and work these things in our hearts, Lord, we pray, and in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen.